Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good. I work with the youth a lot. That's my main ministry. So I expect, I always tell them, I don't move on unless I hear you guys. So how are you guys doing? All right, good. Because I would ask like 20 times. Sometimes you spend a long time in the intros, like, how are you guys doing? How are you getting it? And it's just like making sure you guys are awake. I'm not just up here alone. So it's that song Abba. It's one of my favorite worship songs. It's one of my go-to when I'm all alone. I sing it like pretty much every day when I'm alone. It's just one of my favorites. And every single time I sing it, I just feel my spirit being lifted. I feel the presence of God. And it's just one of my favorite worship songs. And I think all of us have that one worship song. That's just what we say. It hits us right in the feels. So continuing our truth about series, I was thinking about what to do for today. And I went the super easy out. And so what holiday is coming up? The 4th of July. What does it have to do with? Liberty, freedom. So I'm going to talk about freedom. But I feel like the Lord showed me something that at least I haven't seen before. So hopefully you guys will get some insight. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you, Lord, and spend time with you in worship and in prayer. And we get to hear your word, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. And I just thank you that you will guide my words, and there'll be words that you want to say, only that you want to say, Lord. I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so every single sermon that I do, every single teaching, I start with a topic, right? And then I look it up either in the Greek or the Hebrew. It's just what I do. It helps me get started. And so I did that for freedom. I looked it up in the Hebrew and I looked it up in the Greek. You guys want to know what I found? What was the definition of it in the Greek and Hebrew? It was freedom. The definition of freedom in the Greek and Hebrew, in Greek and in Hebrew, is freedom. So I was like, oh, that's a lot of help. So I just looked it up in a normal dictionary. Freedom. What does freedom mean to you guys? It means being free, right? Very, very simple. Nothing special, nothing crazy. But then I started looking at the origin of the word and when it was first used. And when it was first used, it meant a state of being physically unrestricted and able to move easily. So that's still pretty much the definition we hear now. But when I read that, my spirit jumped and changed the word physically into spiritually. So in my spirit, it changed the state of being spiritually unrestricted and able to move easily. And when the Lord just started pouring in me, once I got that, once he spoke that into me, the Holy Spirit was just, I ran with it. And if you guys saw last Sunday's bulletin, I'm going to be referencing that quite a bit. There was a little article about freedom. And I'm going to read it a little bit about it. And it mentions freedom. When Jesus died for us, he gave us freedom, right? Freedoms from our burdens. That's in John 8:36. most of us have heard this scripture. If not, there it is. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So who set us free? The Son, Jesus. He set us free, so we are free. And in Matthew 11, verse 28, if it changes, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He takes our burdens. And in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings us closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The sin that clings to us, Jesus took away the sin that clings onto us. Many times we can't see sin in the physical. But the real damage that sin does, it's in the spiritual. So spiritually talking, remember what we said the definition of freedom was? Being spiritually unrestricted. We also have freedom from sin. In John 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So if Jesus set us free, what did he set us free from? From sin. So we are slaves to sin? No. We're not slaves to sin anymore. So we have the freedom to choose to go with sin or not. Before, we didn't have the choice. We didn't have the freedom before Jesus. We didn't have the choice not to go to sin, to live in a sinful life. In Romans 8, verses 14 and 15, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. I really like that we didn't get the spirit of slavery. We didn't fall back to the spirit of sin. We were adopted by God, by the Father, and now we call him Abba Father. If you don't know what Abba Father means, it's basically an intimate term to call your dad. It's in the language. So it's like Papa, Papi, whatever you use. It's that kind of term. It's that kind of closeness. Freedom, it doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want and there's no consequences. This guy, I was having a conversation with somebody, and they literally told me this. If I don't sin, Jesus died for nothing. That's a very dangerous and dumb way to live. Jesus died so we wouldn't have to live in sin. And actually, it's quite the opposite. If you sin, live in sin. Because we all do sin. We're not perfect. But sinning and then living in sin is two different things. We cannot live in sin. If we live in sin, we actually say the opposite. We say Jesus Death didn't matter. Another freedom that Jesus gives us is freedom from blindness. This what the scripture is said in many movies. The truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Once we see the truth, once Jesus opens our eyes to see the truth, we'll be free from that sin. In Acts 26:18, it says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, for from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Again, it says, open their eyes. This is Jesus talking. I decided to put red letters. Sorry if anybody's colorblind. We'll pray for you. But it says to open their eyes. Jesus praying, open their eyes so they could turn from the darkness to the light. So they could see the truth about sin and turn away from sin and towards God, towards the Father. Galatians 5:13. For we were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We were called to freedom. Called to freedom. Called to be spiritually unrestricted so we could, what? Serve one another. Love one another. Serve. I really do think God has a sense of humor. Because you look at the Bible and there's a lot of funny things. Like, one of my favorite, I can't believe I'm referencing this, but one of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite stories is I'm a youth pastor, so I look at these weird stories and I teach on them a lot. There's a story where literally somebody gets a sword stabbed down in him. He's so fat that the sword goes in. He like his body eats the sword and then he explodes. And then the guy escapes through the toilet. It's in the Bible. It's okay to laugh, you guys. There's crazy stuff. But God, it's kind of like he does the opposite of what we expect. Like he says, hey, I'm going to make them give so they could be blessed. I'm going to make them surrender so they could be free. We surrender to God. We surrender towards God. And that's where we get our freedom. And when I was praying about this, and once I got freedom and stuff like that, the word, the spirit of Pharaoh came into my spirit, came into my head, and I had no idea what it was. I had no idea. I've never heard it before. I didn't even know it was a thing. So I just Googled it and see what came up. And of course, there's a ton of articles about the spirit of Pharaoh and what it does to people, what it does to churches. So I thought it fit perfectly. He distracts us, the spirit of Pharaoh distracts us from our real purpose. And if you guys remember about Pharaohs, the Egypt or Israelites, that I'm going to be referencing that story. We're not going to go into it, but we'll be talking about it. The Israelites were slaves in bondage in Egypt for 430 years, and they lost who they were. They forgot that they were children of God, that they were the chosen generation. They were the chosen ones to continue the lineage of God. They had forgotten that, but they stayed oppressed there by the Pharaoh. Second, he confuses our identity. He makes us forget that we are children of God, like he did the Israelites. He makes us forget what we want. He makes us feel complacent and stay where we are, that we become stagnant and stale. Sounds like a lot like the Israelites. They were happy where they were. They didn't have a great life, but hey. Three, this is the part where it's kind of interesting, is he goes after the next generation. He goes after the young ones. Remember that when he heard about Moses, he had that a kid was going to be born. He had all the young boys killed, every single one that was born. And back then, I'm not saying about now, it's totally different now. Back then, mainly the females were the ones just cleaning and cooking, and just the ones that were just maintenance mode. And back then, the men were mainly warriors. I'm not saying that was all the time, because there is some women warriors in the Bible. But back then, this is how that's what it was, and that was the mentality back then. And so that's why he went after the males. He went after the warriors, the ones who were going to take the gospel forward. But he doesn't worry about the ones who are in maintenance mode, just standing there getting stale. He goes after the ones who are faithful. Goes after the warriors. Fourth, he hardens the heart from obedience. Remember they make quite a few movies out of it. The Prince of Egypt, where Moses and Aaron go up to the Pharaoh and says, the Lord says, let my people go. And then there's a whole plagues and all that stuff, and all that stuff happens. And even though all these things are happening to his people, to the Pharaoh's people, he still says no. And the Israelites, it's kind of funny, because even though after what we know after they left, right? After Moses led them out of Egypt, they were big complainers. They even wanted to go back into Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery than to go where God had promised them to go. Five, once we're starting to get away, he comes at us. The spirit of Pharaoh comes at us. The enemy comes at us with everything he has. Because what did Pharaoh do after he said, fine, just take your people and leave? What did he do? He sent every single chariot, every single person at his disposal, he sent them after the Israelites. Same way, he'll make us feel comfortable. He'll make us feel like we don't have to go to the next level. He will make us feel like we could just sit here and be stagnant. But why, you think about it, but why would the spirit of Pharaoh want to oppress us? Why does he want to oppress us? Because he wants us to think that we're oppressed. He wants us to think that we don't have freedom. that we just stand here. He wants us to just stand, be complacent and stagnant and not move and not move in the spirit. Be restricted in the spirit. So we go back to the scripture, Galatians 5:13. For we were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as opportunity for the flesh, but to serve in love one another. To serve in love, through love, serve one another. I'll get the words right. And I was thinking, how do we do this? How do we, through love, serve one another? And very, very clearly, the Holy Spirit rose in me and said, the Spirit of gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that we get, those are how we serve one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 10, it tells us about the spiritual gifts, that we should all long for these gifts. Go ahead and read a verse, starting in verse 4. Now there are various of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another to interpret the tongues. Those are the spiritual gifts that we should be longing for. And those are the ones God and the Holy Spirit is giving to us. He has already given to us. We just need to open our arms and receive them and start flowing in them. And if you don't know, if it was kind of too fast, kind of I didn't speak that well, we'll go through them again. With the spirit of wisdom, the gift of wisdom. That's the ability to make decisions and give guidance that is according to God's will. It's not just being smart. It's guidance in God's will. The other one, the gifts of knowledge. This is one of my favorite, the gifts of knowledge. I've taught in it a few times in youth group. I even taught about it last Sunday in youth group. And there's this book, this little book that I read Every couple of months. I read it. It's called The Words of Knowledge Made Easy. It's by Scott Thompson. He works with Jesus Culture, and he at the time he wrote the book, he was a youth pastor, and he went around different churches empowering the gift of knowledge, of words of wisdom. Words of knowledge, there we go. And I shared a story that's in the book with the youth group on Sunday. And what was happening was he was at a camp. He was teaching a camp, and he was teaching his Words of Knowledge series. And he started a prayer saying, everybody here, I want you to pray and write down what God tells you. And he says that there was two Catholic girls that have never prayed before in their lives. And they argued with him back and forth. And then finally they said, fine, we'll make something up. The two little girls. And they wrote down man in wheelchair. So then what he does, after they get the word of wisdom, he sends them out. He sends them to just go into the town and do what God told them to do. So the girls didn't want to do it. So they instead went shopping. They went to a thrift store. And when they walked in there, the girls, they were so happy that there was nobody in the thrift store. So they just started shopping, look at the clothes. But then they hear the little, you know, when the door opens, the little bell, the ding, whatever it goes. And they saw a man and his wife. The man was in the wheelchair and the wife pushing him in. And so they kind of went, well, we kind of have to do it now. It's like, it's setting up. And so these girls have never prayed before. They go up and they pray for the guy, for the man, and they kind of force him to stand up. Because they saw the videos of people healing. They didn't know anything. They just forced him to get up, and the man started walking. And after a few moments later, like a few walking back and forth, the man started walking normally. And then the wife started crying, saying that for like 10 years that the man has not been able to walk. And then ends the story with saying that the man ended up putting his wheelchair in the van. He walked, picked up his wheelchair, and put it in the van, in the truck, whatever that they were driving. Those things happen. And those is a perfect example of words of knowledge. Another example that I have that happened to me, and it's not the only example, but I work at the high school, and one of my coworkers came late to work because he was having a bad day. His car wouldn't start. It's like that where the day that everything goes wrong, he was having. And he wasn't gonna be able to have a lunch hour because of how late he came, and so he was gonna stay working the whole time. And so I don't really like eating at McDonald's, but something drawed me towards going to the McDonald's. So I left for my lunch hour, and I went to McDonald's. I ordered what I get at McDonald's. That's when I do go, with chicken nuggets with honey. Those are really good. But then something came out of my spirit to order this weird secret menu thing. I don't remember what it was, but it just came up, and I just said the words, and they came out, and then I was like, what is that for? And he says, go take it to your coworker. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went, and I took it to him, and it's the exact thing he gets every single time at McDonald's. It was a weird, I'm never going to remember it. It's a super, like a secret menu. It has like extra sauces and whatnot. And he was so surprised that I knew his order. And I just started talking to him about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and stuff like that. But those things happen. All we have to be doing are listening. And once we listen, I tell the youth, just write it down. Because if you don't write it down, you're going to forget. Because I'm sure God has spoke to us every single day, every single moment. I guarantee today, God said something to us, a word of knowledge, but we didn't write it down and we forgot. Guarantee. But the gift of knowledge is not to find the dirt. It doesn't give you the dirt on somebody. It doesn't give you the knowledge to know what's wrong with them, because that doesn't take God to find out what's wrong with people. That's very easy to do. He gives us the gift of faith, the ability to trust God and encourage others to trust God no matter what. That's the next one. Another one is gift of healing. We know that one pretty well. Gifts of miracles. Gifts of prophecy. And again, prophecy is not fortune telling. It's not finding the dirt on somebody. It's actually finding the gold in somebody. Discerning of spirits, able to detect what's of God and what's not. to speak in tongues and to interpret tongues. Those are the gifts that we, in Galatians 5:13, that we serve in love one another, to work one another, to serve one another, to love one another. Are you guys following me? That once we move in the gifts of the Spirit, we start feeling the freedom to move in the Spirit. And all these things, all these gifts are for one thing, to bring glory to God. And this is the important part. They are all done in love. The spiritual gifts in the Bible, they're smacked in the middle of talking about love. If you read the chapter, we'll read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. It's a direct verse right after. Oh, wait. Yeah. 13, 1, 2, 3. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but I have not have love, I am nothing. For if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but not have love, I have gained nothing. So it doesn't matter if you could speak in tongues, if you could speak every single language. It doesn't matter all these things. If you do not do them in love, it's nothing. So it goes back to Galatians 5:13. Through love, serve one another. Through love, help one another. Through love, use the spiritual gifts on another. Because every single one of us has at least one of these spiritual gifts. Every single one of us, we just have to activate them. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, is that we are to desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Desire the higher gifts. And some versions says, desire the best gifts. I like what Barbara says, which one are the best gifts? The ones you need. So if you need healing, what's the best gift? If you need a miracle, what's the best gift? So we are to desire these gifts, to desire for the to use these gifts, because what do we say in the beginning? Freedom means that Jesus paid the price for our freedom spiritually, so we can move in this Spirit unrestricted. So take this scripture and pray and ask God to activate the spiritual gifts in you so that you may fulfill this scripture. So you won't live in slavery. So you won't live oppressed or thinking that you're oppressed. That you would be free and free to serve in love. I thank you, Lord, for this word you've given us, Lord. And I just thank you that you'll start activating these gifts in us, Lord. I pray that these gifts will just start bubbling up in us, that tongues will start bubbling up, that interpretation will start bubbling up, that prophecy will start bubbling up, Lord. And I just thank you that all these things will be done for your glory, Lord. And if you have a desire for a spiritual gift to be activated, just go ahead and stand up and ask God, Lord, I'm ready for the gift. Shapatrashatititi, shapatrashatititi. Oh, yes, Lord. Shapatrashatititi, shapatrashatititi. Yes, Lord, I just thank you for all that you are going to do, Lord. And I just thank you that you will activate these gifts in us, in each and every one of us that is longing to desire, to that we desire these gifts, Lord. I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that in each and every one of us, that you'll activate these spiritual gifts, Lord, that you'll open up our eyes, that you'll open up our spiritual eyes, Lord, and our spiritual ears to hear what you want to say, Lord. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you that you will flow through each and every one of us for these spiritual gifts, Lord. I just thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that we will continue and continue, Lord, Shapatrasha, desiring these gifts and longing for these gifts, Lord, Shapatrasha, Shapatrasha, Tititi. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the manifestation of all these gifts, Lord, Shapatrasha, Shapatrasha, Tititi, Shapatrasha. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that they will awaken. They will awaken these spiritual gifts in us, Lord, Shapatrasha. Yes, Lord, awaken, 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 awaken these gifts that have been asleep, Lord. Awaken these gifts, Lord. Awaken these gifts, Lord. Shapatrashati titi. Shapatrashati. Awaken all these gifts, Lord. Shapatrashati titi. Yes, Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the tongues, the prophecy, all of it, Lord, awaken us in every single one of us, Lord. Yes, Lord, we open up our hands, open up our ears, open up our hearts, Lord, to receive your spirits, Lord. Go ahead and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive your gifts, Lord. Go ahead and let your own ears hear it. Let yourself hear it. Let your neighbor hear it. Let anybody hear it. Make a confession that you are ready for these spiritual gifts. I thank you, Lord, that we'll just start flowing in the ease and the freedom to move in the Spirit, Lord. And I just thank you for that, that we'll learn and learn and move in the Spirit, Lord. That we will not be afraid, that we will be bold to move in the Spirit. Well, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, and I thank you that all these things will be done. All these things will be done, that all the gifts that we long for, the desire for the gifts will come down and start manifesting now, right here, right now, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just start thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. So let's just go forward in these gifts. Let's move forward in these gifts. Let's not stay stagnant. Let's not stay complacent. I like this saying that I'm blacking out on it now. Oh, I'm happy where I am spiritually, but I'm not satisfied. I want more. I want more of God. I want to move more in the gifts, more in the Spirit. And let's keep that in there, that we're happy where we are, where God has brought us, but that we still want more. Let's not stay stagnant. So that's what I have for you guys today. Thank you for coming. We have service on Sunday at 10. July 4th, we will not be having Wednesday night service. So we'll see you Sunday. If not, we'll see you the next Sunday. Be blessed.